This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Here we go! Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show underway. It is, indeed, Mr. Deep Voice Announcer Guy. The fan upstate. Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo, and you. 8 o'clock in the morning means it is time for the audio blitz. The best audio since we picked up since the last time that we did the audio blitz, which was, and I checked the calendar, yesterday at 8 o'clock. I will tell you that coming up in 40 minutes. The legendary voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, Mark Bonetti, is going to be joining us and talking a little bunny hockey. Got him. In fact, I'm finishing up confirmation of that right now. So he'll be joining us here in about 40 minutes from now. So we'll get some sound in here between here and there. Got a couple of number of weird ones for you so far today. I will start Let's start with this one, only because it's selfish and I'm a selfish person. Last night, I was hosting BetMGM Tonight along with Ryan Horvath. Nationally syndicated radio program. We got to the end of the program, and Horvath tells Mario, "I don't care what you think, Mario. Enough of America is wrestling fans, and since you can bet on WrestleMania, which you can, John Cena is -250 to win the title at WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes +170 to retain." And I actually gave a reason that I think Cody Rhodes to win at WrestleMania might be the right bet. We'll come to that tomorrow on Fight Club. Horvath said to Mario, "There's enough people that are fans of professional wrestling, and you can bet on it, that we can justify talking wrestling on the show." And we did. And we got to the end of the show. It was the last segment of the show. We got off the air. We ended it. And Mario one of the producers in the background, I think it was Brandon, I don't remember, said, "Rob Brown, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "I heard on the show that you just turned 40. Is that correct?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "How is it that as a 40-year-old man, you can justify spending a few hours a week watching professional wrestling?" And I gave him two answers. The first is that I'm an adult and I do whatever the hell I want to do. It's the nice thing about being an adult. The second, I would like to allow O'Shea Jackson, the actor, who is also a big wrestling fan and has showed up at a couple of shows, I would let him elaborate as he did on the Julian Edelman pod. And of course, my soundboard now isn't playing. I will circle back around to see it. Can I? This button? No, we're just not going to play. Okay, never mind. I'll come back to that clip later on in the show. It's a good one. O'Shea effectively said, I'll see if I can get it to play this way. Effectively said, oh, here you go. I think Broadway with violence is my favorite way I've ever heard wrestling described.
I
love it.
I love that. You know, you're 40. How can you still watch wrestling?
Yeah, that one hurt me a little bit. Yeah, not because of the judgment, because of the, you know, you're 40.
Yeah, well, just and all the guys who say that sort of thing, they all have that little bit of a tone, that judgmental tone. And it's ridiculous. Like you said, you're an adult. Do whatever you want. Let me fan the way I fan. I'm sure you can find some way to criticize what they're a fan of in some way.
Yeah, he stays a Chicago Cubs fan. That was all I said, aren't you still a fan of the Cubs? And Ryan laughed his ass off, who is also a Cubs fan, by the way. It doesn't offend me anymore. I don't care. I used to get offended.
All you got
to
do is those guys and the people, well, you know wrestling is fake, just give them a video of J.D. McDonagh. That's all you need. Punctured a lung, broke ribs, got back into the ring and finished the match. There are some guys that broke legs, that did all these kind of things. It's a very dangerous sport that they do.
There's one other option, one other way to handle it, which is, and I mean this, not to care. I heard a clip about a year ago from Keanu Reeves, where they were asking, they're like, Keanu, like, you've become this national treasure. People in America love you. How have you been able to avoid becoming like a polarizing, controversial figure at a point in time where it feels like everybody has to take a side on one thing or the other and dislike the people on the other? And Keanu said, I'll tell you what it is, because I don't fight with people I don't agree with anymore. He goes, if you tell me 2 + 2 = 5, I go, yep, sure, you're absolutely right. And I move on to something more important. And like, that's just where I've gotten with that. If you don't like it, cool. Good for you. I do. All right. This is a clip that I want to get to. There is a comedian by the name of Aaron Weber. I've seen him get big on Instagram the last couple of months. And he had a take that last night I felt in my soul. Because I forgot until 6:50 that I had not eaten dinner before I was about to sit down and do a 4-hour show to wrap up my day. And while I don't eat often, if I'm hungry, I'm hangry. So I'm like, all right, let me scarf down. And I scarfed down some spaghetti and meatballs that the wife and I made a couple of days ago as leftovers. Heated them up, scarfed them down. And about halfway through the show, dude, I was hurting. The heartburn was real.
Meatballs got sausage in them? Or
no, I hand roll my own ground beef meatballs, and then I put oregano, thyme, basil, and just a little pop of cayenne pepper to give them a little extra flavor. I roll them up and I fry them myself.
So it's the cayenne that got you.
It was the fact that I knocked back like 5 like good sized meatballs and a full plate of spaghetti in like 3 minutes. I was like a dog that hadn't eaten in 3 weeks. The heartburn was real, and once again, Brandon made fun of me because as we got to a break, I was like, guys, hang on. I gotta take a Tums. And I reached over because next to my home studio desk at the office, though, is a bottle of Tums about that big because I use them at night all the time. Aaron Weber, comedian, had thoughts on that one. So I heard that clip and I was like, this relates because I've gotten to the point where not only are Tums like a part of my nightly routine now, but on top of that, so I go shopping for Tums. Like, that is just go to the CVS and like grab the first bottle I see. No, I will go to like 2 or 3 or 4 different spots and I will find the flavor. There's a berry, like a tropical berry Tums right now that I'll eat just because I like them. Like, they're just good. He's not wrong. Tums is like a top, in my life, this isn't even a joke. Tums is like a top 5 candy for me right now. Because I would say genuinely like 3 to 4 nights a week, the last thing I eat is a Tums.
So is there any possibility that maybe, you know, what you're eating is causing discomfort?
Absolutely.
And you might want to try not eating that?
Absolutely not. That is the penance that I pay. The penance that I pay is that I go, this is going to make me miserable in about an hour and 15 minutes. But man, I make a kick-ass meatball. Homemade, hand-rolled, phenomenal. Got the seasoning down just right. I make a kick. And I figured out how to fry a meatball just the right way. So it's like, it's just a little crispy on the outside, but it's cooked all the way through, and the seasoning is rolled into the meatball, not just like coated on the outside. I make a mina meatball, and I know that when I make the Rob Brown special, when I make my meatballs, which are world class, when I make my meatballs, I know I'm going to pay for them later. I would rather go through Tums like I'm a stockholder than stop eating one of my top five foods of all time.
Do you ever think maybe just remember to eat it rather than eat a meal faster than it took you to cook it?
No, then I would just eat the meatballs earlier and slower. I don't know that it's going to solve the problem. So, with all of that being said, I would like to personally send out a note of thanks to Tums, who went, guys like Rob, they don't have a choice here. So let's make eating an antacid tablet at least an enjoyable experience. And they've done a wonderful job. The tropical berry Tums are like, man, they're like chalky Skittles.
Wow.
And I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan. You know what I just realized because of this texter? Rob, the advantage of being 40 is that you can drop the Mike Gundy, I'm a man, I'm 40 on people. I turned 40. I have not said I'm a man, I'm 40 one time. I'm just realizing that. I've been 40 for a month to the day, and I have not dropped an I'm a man, I'm 40 on anybody. I've wasted a full month of I'm a man, I'm 40. What am I doing with my life?
You can make up for time.
Oh, so I'm going
plenty
to.
Plenty of time.
Thank you, Texter. I know I got to go pull a clip after the show. I really do. Sean McVay jumped on the Pat McAfee show to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars, specifically to talk about a change that the Jacksonville Jaguars have made. The Jags went and got themselves a new general manager, and his name is James Gladstone. Lonzo, have you seen pictures of James Gladstone since he got hired?
I don't believe I have.
Do me a favor. Will you Google James Gladstone? Click on Google Images and just give me your thoughts. Like, what's the knee-jerk reaction you have when you see James Gladstone, new general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars? Because I think it's going to be the same as everybody else's. He looks like a child.
No, I thought he looked like a mob informant.
But
that's just what he's like, hey.
He looks like a kid. Well, James Gladstone got the job because he has worked alongside and in the office of the LA Rams and Sean McVay. Sean McVay joined the Pat McAfee show to talk about the new Jags GM, James Gladstone. So I have a couple of takeaways. Number one, yes, James Gladstone looks like he's 12. Number two, that just makes me feel worse about my life because I'm a man, I'm 40, and I never made it to NFL GM. This kid's like 27 years old. It's unbelievable. Number three, why does Sean McVay sound like a bad John Gruden impression? Did you pick up on that? He sounds like John Gruden, but like, somebody doing a real, like, C-minus impression of him.
He's always sounded that way to me, especially like his Chunky Soup commercial. If you close your eyes and you listen, you can hear a young John Gruden.
I don't know that it's ever jumped off the page at me.
I wonder if they come from the same region, or if it's just coaches who really get into talking the X's and O's, have a cadence. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
So this is, all right. Here's a thought. And I can, as I usually do, bring this back to me. Lonzo has pointed out, and accurately so, the fact that over the past like 6 weeks, I have added a new word to a vocabulary that I've not had in the vocabulary before, which is buddy. I love the term buddy. I like it because it's very utilitarian. You can use it as disrespectful. Come on, buddy. You can use it as, I'm impressed, buddy. You can use it as a form of greeting. What's up, buddy? You can use it as a dismissal. Okay, buddy. Like, it's great. It's utilitarian. And I picked that up from Mark Benetti.
By the way, Sean McVay and John Gruden, both from Ohio.
There you go. So here's the thing. About 2 weeks ago, when the great one accurately pointed out that buddy had made its way into my lexicon, had become something, not that I say ironically, I genuinely use buddy all the time now.
No. The reason why it's a clip is because you use it in a derogatory way towards me, and so I turned it.
The first time I did. But I've also, again, I will use it as a positive. We will welcome buddy of the show, Mark Benetti, here in just a little while. But when it got in my head that buddy was just something I adopted. I'd never said it before. I adopted it. I went and looked it up. And what I found out, great one, is that there is a empirical connection between extroverted, I'm going to use the word, I don't really like it because I don't know if it's really me or not, but extroverted empaths, like people who like to be connected to other people. My wife and I are different on this. She wants to sit at home on the couch and relax and just watch TV. I like to go out and be with people and around people. I'm the dude that's like, can we invite people over for everything that happens? And she's the person that's like, do we ever have to talk to anybody again? And what I found is that extroverted empaths naturally...
You just can't win, can you? Because you get that here with me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You get the same thing when you go there with her.
But I also... So I read two things about this. The first is that in this sense, opposites do attract because people like to be balanced out, right? And so you and I balance each other out. My wife and I balance each other out. I give her a reason to go charge the social battery. She gives me a reason not to be at the bar 7 nights out of 7 nights a week, right? But the other thing I read was that extroverted empaths, people who like to be connected to other people, will often adopt the speech patterns and the vernacular, the words used by other people, as a subconscious way of trying to connect with that person. If I sound like you and I speak like you and I use the words that you use, the way that you use them, your monkey brain is more likely to go, oh, this guy's like me. And therefore, it's easier to establish a relationship and a connection. Buddy. So when I hear somebody say buddy a bunch, as Mark Benetti does, I pick up on it. Sean McVay got his start working with the Grudens, both from Ohio, so maybe it's an Ohio thing, but also worked for the Grudens when he was a young and up-and-coming position coach, coordinator, and head coach
eventually.
Maybe
there's a reason why I don't really hear an accent when I hear them talk.
Oh, I mean, if you don't hear that John Gruden accent.
Dude, I'm making a point here.
No, I know.
I don't.
But I'm saying
most people, if you're from somewhere, you don't hear that as an accent.
Maybe
you
not.
You just don't.
Maybe not. We went to New Orleans last week, and as I said, always happens. The third day I was in New Orleans, I started talking like people from New Orleans to the point that my wife was like, "What? Why? Why are you doing this?" And it's like, I don't think I'm doing anything. I'm just talking the way people talk. I think it's that. I think it's Sean McVay is kind of an extroverted guy. That's where that over the top ability to be an entertainer, a broadcaster that he is going to be comes from, and he just ended up copying John Gruden. All right, I got a few more thoughts for you, including Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees, weighing in on the automatic balls and strikes system. We got some sound on the quarterback movement in the NFL. And I have, and this is a weird sentence to say, a new favorite referee. I'll tell you about that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664-SEASONS.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Travis Tritt and Bad Company sang two different songs about two different people. Bobby played his guitar on the hotter on the harder side of town. Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. Two different people, two different songs.
You were singing the chorus. You were not singing the verses. So I don't know why you're comparing the verses. I just said something. I sang a line because you something you said from Bad Company. You took it, kept going, and saying the exact lyrics from Bad Company. Travis Tritt, and now you're trying to be right.
Are you done being wrong so I can tell you the lyrics I was singing were, I'm going to be somebody. One of these days I'm going to break these chains. I'm going to be somebody someday. You can bet your hard-earned dollar I will, which is not Bad Company. Just accept it. You heard something and you heard it wrong. You were going, Johnny made a record, went straight up to number one. Different song. That's Johnny. I was singing about Bobby. Different guy, different song.
Hey, Rob, you're right.
I know. Thank you. That's all I wanted.
I messed up the whole day. But here's the thing. I don't know why you get so emotional about it.
Because you accused Travis Tritt of plagiarism, and I won't stand for Travis Tritt slander on the show.
Yeah, I don't. What you going to do about it? I mean, I said I was wrong. You going to beat me up because I plagiarized Travis Tritt?
But I'm not going to stand for the slander.
Is he still alive?
That's a great question.
I thought he died.
He played here but a couple of years ago, if I recall correctly, at the outdoor amphitheater downtown. I think he's still alive. I think he's still playing, actually. I think he's still playing. Yeah, he is. He's 62 years old.
He's 62. He's still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be somebody someday. You can bet your hard-earned dollar.
He's got a really large head. So do I. But, I mean, you know, real, recognize it's real.
All right, I got a little more sound for you.
Cover up a little bit of that forehead. Maybe, I don't know.
I'm going to just let that comment just linger out there for you.
Are you taking it somewhere other than actual talking about skulls?
No, I'm just saying either one of us commenting on somebody else's big head, probably not the right play. Probably not the right play. Neither one of us. What size hat do you wear? Because mine is big as hell.
We know that my head is bigger than yours. I don't know why that it's probably not. No. Literally, it's bigger.
You're just busting up on my guy, Travis Tritt. That's all. I can't stand for Travis Tritt slander.
Yeah,
that's all.
Country's easy.
All right. Here's a couple of clips we're going to get out of here before we roll on. Austin Rivers had a question. Actually, I'm going to come back to this later in the show as well, but I really like this clip. Austin Rivers asked the question, why is it we're allowing recruits to show up on campus and take pictures? Okay, so this is this weird spot for me because there is a battle happening within me between the old guy, the I'm a man, I'm 40, and the young guy who gets it. Okay, because that young guy that gets it, like, he's still in there. He still says things like no cap and grind. Okay, so the old guy in here, the I'm a man, I'm 40 in me, is having a fight with the young guy who, like, gets it. The answer is twofold. Number one, because everybody else is letting him put on the jersey. Number two, because it's a brand thing. It's a hype thing, right? If the number one recruit in the country shows up and he puts on your jersey and he's got the Duke or the UNC or the LSU jersey on and he puts a picture up on the internet and he says, Duke question mark? How we feeling, LSU question mark, whatever. Number one, it creates a discussion around that player. It allows your fan base to become a recruiting tool for that kid, right? Because if that kid puts up a picture with a Duke jersey on and the Blue Devil audience starts elevating that kid to superstardom before he shows up on campus as a student for the first time, he might go, man, those Duke people, those Duke fans, they made me feel real good about my life. So maybe I do want to play there. But then there's the old guy in me. There's the pride portion of me. Oh, this is offensive. There's the I'm a man, I'm 40 side of me.
You're back in my day.
There's the back in my day. The get off my lawn guy in me. The get off my lawn guy in me. He says, you haven't earned that jersey. You haven't earned the right to put that logo on. You haven't earned the right to wear the colors. You got to become a part of the team if you want to do that. This is the side of me that played for a head coach in Bobby Moore back at Choctachy High School. That when we started spring football and fall camp, you didn't get to put the CHS Diamond logo that we wore on the side of the helmet. You didn't get to put that logo onto your helmet until you showed that you earned it. till you went through the practices, till you gutted it out, till you sweat and you bled and you puked on the field. And Bobby said, you had a great practice today. Here's the diamond. And then you got to, there was a whole ceremony about you taking your helmet and putting it on a special table at the front of the locker room and having the trainer come out and put that diamond on the side of your helmet. You had to earn it. You don't get to rock the Duke jersey until you're a Duke. But on the flip side.
Until you're a Duke?
Until you're a Duke.
Okay.
Once you become a Duke, you can wear Duke on the chest. But not until you're a Duke do you get to be a Dukie. All right? So it's this weird spot because, like, on one hand, you got to do it because if the kid goes in, he puts on a North Carolina jersey and the North Carolina audience goes, oh, we got him. He's on the hook. He's wearing our logo. He likes it. And they go, you're amazing. You're incredible. You're great. And then he goes, North Carolina made me feel real welcome. Whereas Duke, like, they excluded me. Like, they put me to that. Now, there may be some kids that look at it and they go, you're damn right. I want to earn that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. It's the way things are done today. Now, the way things are done today sometimes are stupid, but this I don't have a problem with it.
It's weird because I do and don't at the same time. On one hand, I understand it's absolutely necessary for the next generation to give them the opportunity to use their social media to get your fan base as a recruiting tool. On the flip side, the I'm a man, I'm 40, get off my lawn, old man in me is like, nobody gets to wear my logo until they've earned it.
You know what should be bothering you more? That Austin Reeves is an old man with old man takes.
Austin Rivers.
Rivers.
And Austin, yes, he
Reeves,
is.
Whatever.
Because I remember him getting into the league when I was already an old man, and now he's an old man retired podcaster who's griping about the way that the kids these days do it, and I'm older than him.
Austin Reeves, not an old guy.
Not an old guy.
And I apologize to Austin
Reeves. And a baller.
A big fan of Austin Reeves. My fault. That's a reason why foremost in my mind. So.
And a baller, even if the Lakers are like kind of slipping down the Western Conference standings right now. Hey, we should do an NBA playoff rankings update later on in the show.
They're doing it so they can have better matchups in the playoffs.
It's
strategy. That's it.
They want to be a lower seed so they can go on the road for those better matchups.
Well, they play better on the road.
Hey, speaking on, no, that's not a good segue because the Rabbits are at home on Friday night, and not just at home on Friday night, at home for, I don't care, judge me.
Why don't you just talk about how awesome he is?
I'm setting it up. Friday night is my favorite theme night of the year for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. It is hockey and hops. It's hockey and beer. It's a night where the hockey team is celebrating beer. Yeah. We're going to talk about that when we come back here in just mere moments from right now with the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, the legendary buddy of the show, Mark Bonetti. Next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate, buddy. The Hot Rod Brown Show continues right here on the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and the ones and twos this AM. And joining us now on our live stream, available for you at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on Twitter, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, or the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, or on Twitch, because we're young, hip, cool, and still got it. It's the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, the iconic Mark Bonetti, joining us here on the show. What's up, big dog?
Just winding down now. We've got 8 games left. We got a really fun one with hockey and beer on Friday, and then a very busy week next week. And then before you know it, we're looking at the finish line here. So it's unfortunate that we're looking at the finish line, but nonetheless, we still have 8 games to share together, 5 of them at home. So, you know, it'll be a nice way to close on out.
It is. And it is interesting because on one hand, I think we have to address reality. As much as I am a Swamp Rabbit fan, I'm currently rocking the logo because I've earned it, Shane Battier. As much as I love the hockey team, we also have to address the reality. The Rabbits eliminated from playoff contention with an L at home last week. But I think the other aspect of this is that it does kind of open up some opportunities that should make fans of this team interested in that you got some young guys on the team. You got some college guys that just became eligible to sign their first pro contract and did. You got some guys that have moved on. It's opened up some PT for some young guys to get some XP down the stretch. This is a point in time where we're going to get to see probably the some of the future players, future stars of the Rabbits start to get more ice time, A, and B, and maybe this is just me digging for silver linings here, Benetti, this team can play free from this point. There's no more obligation. There's no more responsibility. Go out there, break away, hit somebody, put the puck in the net, and let's have a little fun down the stretch. Those two things combined mean, though, even though the Rabbits are out of the contest for now, the rest of the ride should be a heck of a lot of fun for a hockey fan.
Yeah, like the real pressure that you see here in these last eight games is twofold. It falls individually on the player to do the best that they can because they're trying to earn a job for next year, whether it's with us, whether it's elsewhere, a higher league over in Europe. But then the other pressure, too, is, you know, from the coaching staff, you've got to build your foundation for next year. And that comes with those new players. That comes with guys that you're trying to continue to wear a Swamp Rabbit sweater and a skating stomper on their chest going into next year. And so there is still some kind of an element of pressure in that respect. And obviously you want to win the games. You want to end off on a high note, not, you know, drop the rest of them there too, right? But I think there's the excitement now comes in the form of, who are we going to try and bring next year? Who are we going to use as a building block, this young talent coming out of college? And I'm excited to see everybody start getting their playing time. We saw Ryan O'Hara make his pro debut against South Carolina on Friday. He was absolutely dynamite and noticeable after a crazy swap of a trade deadline and an assignment deadline where a lot of prospects left the Swamp Rabbits and it turned into return on investment at the likes of a Stepan Timofeyev, who is going to be an absolute stud for this team once he gets into the system and gets into the groove, and he's continued to look a lot more noticeable. But again, you've got, you know, likes of Ryan O'Hara. You had Kyle Haskins make his team debut, score his first pro goal against Savannah on Sunday. Connor Hutchison got his first pro point against South Carolina last Friday. So, and Pierce Charleston is a unit and deserves to have three wins in the five games that he's played, sir, the four games that he's played three consecutively. So, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, we still have to see Matthias Scholl in net too. And if he's even as half as good as his brother Thomas was, who was goaltender of the year in 2020 with the Idaho Steelheads, we're going to have a dynamite look in that come the future.
I think that's interesting. And I do want to kind of circle back to some of the other guys and positions we talked about. But one thing that has jumped out to me, and as the guy who's got the mic screaming loudly into it at any given game, I'm on the defending end of the ice in the tunnel during breaks and whatnot, which means I am standing 6 feet away from the Rabbit goalies for two periods a game. As much as it may not feel that way with the elimination on Sunday, man, this team has done a hell of a job finding and developing netminders this season. Whether it's McKay, Inge got his 100th, and now you've got Charleston, who I was beyond impressed with this cat in the goal on Sunday. He was under a relentless Savannah attack and was just as consistent as you could ask, aggressive getting after the puck when it was anywhere around the blue paint. Kyle Mountain and Co. deserve to be lauded for the development of the guys between the pipes this season, in my opinion.
And it should go noted, too, Kobe Hay has been an ultimate teammate this entire year. He's played with this organization since day one of training camp, even going as far back as to L.A. development camp, too, with the Kings after coming out of the Edmonton Oil Kings in the Western Hockey League. And he ended up starting to get regular starts, got his first win all the way back on February 23rd against Atlanta. So I don't want that to go under the radar either. Unfortunately, he had a tough go on Sunday, but that's where you when you just don't have it, you rely on that teammate. And then you look to a Pierce Charleston, like you said, there were 41 total Savannah shots. He saw 25 of them in 40 minutes. And if it wasn't for Pierce Charleston, that game is not the 5-2 final with two empty netters that we're talking about, you know. And again, people are going to look and say, ah, 5-2, that's a three-goal loss. I mean, yes, obviously that is what the box score says, but that was a 3-2 hockey game going into the third period because of Pierce Charleston. If he doesn't make the saves that he does, we're talking a complete – maybe it's 5-2 going into the third instead. And so he has been cool, calm, collected, and is just a phenomenal human being, too. You talk to him, and he is what I love to compliment goaltenders on. He's a normal person, which a lot of goaltenders I've talked with over the years, I cannot say that. So excited to see where he goes from here. It's only a matter of time before he gets his first pro win, but he is one of the more normal goalies I've worked with in a dozen years of doing this.
I'll tell you real quick, it's just kind of a brief and personal aside. One of my favorite things about working for this team in a couple of different roles over the years, about covering this team as a media member and about following this team as a fan, the guys in the locker room, like I've had the opportunity to have experiences with them on stage at the Habitat for Humanity shows. I've gotten the opportunity to spend time with them at the rink post-practice when they're coming off. I've gotten the chance to be in the locker room once or twice for pre- and post-games after and before big wins, etc. These dudes are just dudes. They love playing hockey. They love Greenville, the ones that I've spoken to. I was talking a few weeks ago with Iggy, as a matter of fact, and he was like, I tuned into your show the other morning, and I don't even remember what we were arguing about that morning, but he's like, can I come in one day and just get on the mic and try to tick people off? And I was like, dude, for an hour, let's do this thing. One of the reasons I love this is because these guys, as much as they are pro hockey players, and as much as many of them are trying to find their way to the league, many of them recognize they just love playing hockey, and while NHL dreams may not live on, like, they get to keep playing on a professional banner, and they all love being here. Dude, getting to know the players makes me want to be bigger fans of the players and of the team. You get to spend more time with them than anybody who's not a teammate. How impactful has that been for you here in Greenville since you got here?
I mean, here in Greenville in particular, it's huge because this is a non-traditional hockey market, right? I've been in California, also non-traditional, but very similar principles. I've been in Rapid City, South Dakota, which is a bit more traditional of a hockey market just because it gets to minus 21 during New Year's Eve. But, you know, anything I've learned over 12 years of doing this is these guys are normal Joes. They just have a semi-godlike ability to skate 25 miles an hour on a piece of metal an eighth of an inch thick. So that's just, that's the beauty of it. They're normal guys, but they play a sport. They do it fairly well. And they have a chance to do it at the absolute highest level in the entire world. And so when you realize that they're just normal people, it makes what you do on a daily basis that much easier, quite frankly. It makes it easier to root for individual success. It makes it easier to root for team success. And, you know, and also, too, to see what they do behind the scenes, to see their workouts, see their practices, see their preparation. And look, I know I just, you know, dumped on the goaltenders being kind of, you know, not too long ago, but to see what they do to prepare is pretty wild. There was a goaltender I used to work with in Rapid City. Coach Dowd, I actually played with him in Jacksonville. Adam Carlson retired 2 years ago, but Ace had this book. He's a Minnesota kid. He had this book and 3D glasses, and he would do eye muscle exercises, and he would literally look at this shape. It would converge away, and with his eyes, he had to bring the shape and the dots together, and it would help him train his vision so he could track the puck coming at him at 90 miles an hour. And it's just wild to see that. That's only the tip of the iceberg for this guy. That's not his workouts. That's not his stretching. It's not his recovery. It's not what he puts into his body to recover or what else he does to do even community work outside of that too. It's wild to see. And that's, again, just one position group. But what goes into what these guys do on a daily basis? I know a lot of fans will show up and they'll see a final score, or they'll see a game, good, bad, or indifferent, or they'll look at standings. There's so much more that goes into this than just trying to make a playoff run and trying to do all these different things. These guys are normal, too, to your point.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. What is, now that this team has been eliminated from the postseason, you got a couple of games against Atlanta coming up here Friday night at the Cradle and then on the road on Saturday. What is the mentality of this team? I mean, obviously, we've talked a number of times about how you don't want to go full-on development until the number hits zero, till you're cooked, and unfortunately we're there. So what is the mentality of this team? How does it shift with eight games remaining and a few more at the barn?
Well, two thoughts here on that. First and foremost, especially from the coaching perspective, you always have to be in development mode because that is the primary motor of our league is development. So you always have to be working on whether it's a prospect with the Rain or the Kings or whether it's somebody that you signed out of college in the offseason or you signed out of major junior or you traded for in his first year, something along those lines. You're always working on development there. That should always be the mindset first and foremost. The mindset should always be to win too. And so that should be the expectation. And it is the expectation for this team over the next eight games. You've got three left against the Gladiators, two against the Icemen, two against the Stingrays. You've got to find a way to find that next gear and figure out what it's going to take to win all eight or the vast majority of these eight games against very tough competition. You know, out of the remaining eight games, just about half of them, maybe a little bit more than half of them, are against playoff teams. And so Atlanta has Not been completely eliminated yet, but they're pretty close. They still have games in hand on Orlando. Orlando still has a stranglehold on that fourth spot. So they're going to be playing thinking that they still have a chance to get in this next weekend, home and home. But for Coach Mountain, it's, again, building that foundation. And for the players, it's playing for your opportunity to either come back to this team or to go elsewhere and set yourself up for your own personal success too. So there's a lot of different things, but manifestly at the end of the day, it ends in wins and losses for this team. And you have to do the everything that you can in your power to win these next eight games. So the mentality is there, the compete is still there, but now it's how do you put it together and make sure that you don't sputter to the finish line.
Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the show Friday night. The Rabbits at the house taking on the Atlanta Gladiators. 7:05, the puck hits the ice. It is hockey and hops. We're celebrating two of my favorite things in the world, hockey and ice cold beer at a hockey game. I was very close to taking vacation from this game and then showing up to be a beer drinker anyway, Mark Benetti. I love this theme night. It is a blast. And I guess as much as this isn't intended but may sound like a sales pitch, even with this team being eliminated, there is not much you're going to find better to do on a Friday night than come out to a hockey night, especially on a night we celebrate some ice cold brewskis in the barn. I still expect to see this Friday, next Wednesday, next Saturday, a hockey team that's skating at 1,000 miles an hour and trying to bury the puck through the back of the net to get some wins here. Like, this doesn't, to me, as a fan, forget the employee, as a fan, take away from the enjoyment of watching this team continue to get better moving into the offseason.
Absolutely. And again, you know, time for us this year together as hockey fans is unfortunately running out, right? We have eight of them left, five of them at home. If you want to take the trip down to Atlanta, if you want to take the trip down to Jacksonville and Orlando, you can do that, right? But otherwise, I see what you're talking about there. But you know, the point, the offer stands if you want to join us for those games, even though one of them is your absolute least favorite city alive.
The butthole of America, man. It is what it is. I'm never coming off it.
But yeah, I mean, our time's running out. So we've got to celebrate it the best that we can together while we still have it before we wait until, you know, next October, next training camp, the end of September, and get ready to do the dance all over again 72 more times. So Hockey and Hops presented by KW Beverage is going to be an absolute blast. We've been talking consistently about the beer tasting package where $35 gets you a center ice ticket and it gets you six beer tastings with seven breweries and 20 different options within those seven breweries. Peak Drift, Bold Rock, Good Times, New Belgium, New Realm, Pangea, Savage. It's going to be an absolute blast of a time. You know, brews, meet bruisers. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm very excited for, see, sometimes something smart comes out of here, but, you know, very excited for that. It's always a fun celebration. And we've got some of our guys after practice today who for the first time are going to try our Stomping Ground Ale. So I'm excited to see what their review is on it.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you two things. Number one, as an employee of the team, it comes with certain perks and privileges. Like one of them is when the team president cracks one of those cold Stomping Ground Ales for you. It's delightful. And second off, in this one, I'm even more in more happy. I'm making the announcement. I mean, it's been announced on Facebook, but I'll announce it anyway. Rolling out the Hair to the Throne West Coast IPA on Friday night. Exclusive preview that you can only get at the game. I don't know about you, Benetti. I'm a big IPA guy. And also, it's got the Rabbit King logo on the side of the can. It's just a badass look for a badass beer. I'm in.
So I'm very selective with my IPAs. I have not tried the Rabbit King yet. But look, this is a Peak Drift beer. And if the Stomping Ground Ale is anything to set a barometer on, I think this is going to be dynamite. I can see myself enjoying a few of those after a couple of big wins to end the year here.
Ben Eddie, I'm just going to say I'm always on the hunt for content, both for the Rob Brown Show and the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. I would just like to say I think it would be solid to have two wonderful communicators such as you and me maybe join up pregame to knock one of these IPAs back and give a solid review on it. It's for the content.
Well, really, it's for the people. It's for the people. We have to make sure that we're guiding the people in the right direction here. So it's for the people, but also selfishly, it's for us because, well, it's beer.
No. It's for the people. We're just going to stick with that.
You're right.
Hockey and Hops Friday night. The Greenville Swamp Rabbits taking on the Atlanta Gladiators. They'll be on the road Saturday back in the barn next Wednesday against representatives of the worst city in America, the Jacksonville Icemen, on the road Friday back home against Atlanta again a week from Saturday. Mark Bonetti is the golden voice that you will hear calling every Greenville Swamp Rabbit game for the remainder of this year and hopefully well into the future, because he is a buddy of the show and will remain such. My guy, appreciate you, big dog.
Always, Rob. Thanks so much.
Pleasure's mine. Mark Bonetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Lonzo, voice of the people with a sports flash.
Sorry to hear the bros talking beer.
Bro?
Podcast is over. Russell Wilson will be... Sorry, I don't drink. If I did, I would have, you know, jumped in.
I'll drink yours for you.
Of course you will. Russell Wilson will be quarterback for the New York Giants next year after signing a one-year, $21 million deal. The 10-time Pro Bowler passed on signing a new contract with Pittsburgh or the Browns in order to head to New York. Wilson will join Jameis Winston, who will be quarterback number one, you'll see, who signed a two-year, $8 million deal with the team last week. Alex Ovechkin's pursuit of Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record is down to 6 goals after scoring his 889th last night in a 3-2 overtime win over Winnipeg. The goal was Ovechkin's 36th this year and puts him closer to 40 on the season for the 14th time, the most in NHL history. Tune in this afternoon, 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home and get you up to date on all the latest local sports.